I'm going to be doing 3-night Bible studies, one tonight, one tomorrow, and one on Thursday. And tonight and tomorrow are definitely a 1- and 2-parter. The Thursday one is not necessarily connected with this, but it's connected in the fact that they'll all be prophetic. Tonight we're going to talk about Babylon. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th beast of Daniel. And on Thursday I'm going to give a very, very interesting Bible study on the covenant of death. And it's going to have a lot to do with Israel today and what's happening in the land and why these things are happening in the near future, what is being planned right here in this land, which it's all connected. Because you're going to see in Scripture what the Father says is, first he's going to judge Israel for allowing things to happen, and then he's going to judge Babylon for causing it to happen, and then he's going to judge the earth because Babylon has brought all this to the earth. So the things we're going to study are very, very pertinent to the times we're living in. They could never be more pertinent. So although sometimes prophecy is exciting because the Bible comes alive and we see things, this is more than exciting. This is really life. This is life and death. And, you know, in the end time, I've said this before and Scripture backs it up, there'll be more people lost in our generation than any other generation before. And that's scary. And if you think about it, you know, when Yeshua returns and few men are left, you know why? Isaiah 24. Because they've forsaken the everlasting covenant. And if Satan has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12:9, what makes me think I can't be deceived? You know, so it's really, it's a sobering time. And we're seeing a lot of deception. So I think these things will be important. Just one or two announcements before we start. Remember tomorrow, Gary, where's Gary? Did you talk to the place over there, the YMCA, about breakfast at 6 tomorrow? It's all set. Okay, good. Your breakfast will be at 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6 to 7, and we'll be leaving at 7 o'clock sharp from the door going around to the Jaffa Gate to get our bus. And the people that are staying at the YMCA, the bus will pick you up right there at the YMCA. You don't have to come over here. And we're going to be going to Bethlehem tomorrow morning. So that should be very interesting. And then we're going to go over to the Mount of Olives. We're going to have our service on the Mount of Olives. We'll come back in the afternoon. You'll have a free afternoon. And then we'll have our Bible study again tomorrow night. I wanted to mention about when we get to the Mount of Olives, and Mihak told me to also mention this again, be very, very careful. There's a lot of Arabs up there who try to sell things, and they're very, very aggressive. And recently, some people have had passports stolen, they've had wallets taken, and the children will run up and try to get around your pocket. So please watch yourself when we're coming up and down from the Mount of Olives.
And stay close.
Stay close. Stay very, very close together. Because they're going to come to my shop, come over here, come for tea. They'll say something to you like, as if they want help, and you'll think you're helping, and they're only trying to bait you away.
Never allow them to go in between you.
Yeah, never allow them to get in between you, or you and your wife, or you and your children. Please, they're really, really bad up there, you know, and it's not a good situation with the way a lot of them are. So, but we're going to go inside a complex. It's called Dovius Flavit, and it's an interesting place. You're going to see some different things. There's even a little bit of archaeology there. There's some ossuary boxes, so we'll go over some things, and we'll have our service up there tomorrow. We're going to be going also tomorrow, like I said, when we go to Bethlehem, on the way back from Bethlehem, we're going to stop at a store, a souvenir store. And the reason why we have to stop there, these people, they're called the Lama Brothers, you know, tell me you're not in the Middle East. They're the reason we're getting into Bethlehem. Groups are not allowed into Bethlehem in buses, and we've worked a deal out with them to rent buses off of them, and they're basically providing us with the permits to get in there. So in order to do that, you know, we're stopping at their store. You're not obligated to buy anything. They give us free coffee, but they have a lot of woodwork. They have things that are made out of natural olive wood. If you want to buy something, fine. Don't feel obligated, you know, if you want to. But that's the reason why we're getting in there. And that's the reason why we have to stop at the store. You know, it's not a planned out thing like that. But what are you going to do? It's just part of what we have to do. So Tuesday, again, remember, we're going to go in the morning to the city of David. And we're going to start up at the room of the Last Supper. And depending, we have to be in the city of David by 9:30. So if we can even leave here 7:45, you know, we won't miss anything in Upper Mount Zion. But if it gets too late and we're coming late, we're going to have to leave there to get to the City of David because we have an appointment. We must be there by 9:30.
Can you ask if somebody's claustrophobic or allergic to mold because they shouldn't go away?
Yeah, well, as far as the water tunnel, when we go to the City of David, I'll be talking, we'll be looking at things, and then we're going to go inside the actual city. There's subterranean caves inside of the City of David, and there's Hezekiah's water tunnel. It is about a third of a mile, and a lot of it you have to bend. It's very tight. If you're claustrophobic, you're not going to like it. So, I mean, if you can do the water tunnel, great. It's a great experience, but it's a dark tunnel that you're going to walk a third of a mile, and it seems about 5 miles as you're walking it. Your thing is never going to end. So it's a great thing to say, I did it, but if you can't do it, you know, if you have a bad back or you're, don't force yourself. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth going in there because once you're in, you can't get out, especially during now. There's so many people in front of you and behind you. Once you get in there, you're not going to be able to get out of there. And
we've, is there anybody that has to stay out? Because I would probably...
Yeah, it's fine. What we're going to do is, there's a spot where you're going into the tunnel, where, and actually it's fairly new where they excavated, where you can bypass the tunnel, and that's actually the original water tunnel. That's the water tunnel from the time of David and Solomon. There's no water in it today.
Yeah, we walked it.
Yeah, but you could walk through there and then you just bypass it. So either way, you decide, but just to know, you know, if you go in there, there's no turning back. You know, and if, like I said, if you have a little flashlight or something, we can do it. And like I said, whoever would like to be immersed in the Pool of Siloam, I'm telling you right off the bat, it's only about 2 feet of water, and it could even be murky, but it is special water over there. Just talk to me ahead of time, because we'll do that when we come out of the water tunnel. So that'll be that. And then, like I said, tomorrow, then Tuesday night, we'll be doing testimonies. It'll be a whole service we're going to have where you can share some testimonies, and we'll talk more about that on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to have a special speaker here, Benjamin from the bookstore, Benjamin Turkia, who is an expert in the tribes. He's a pastor here in Jerusalem. He's a dear, dear friend of mine, and probably more than anyone in the world, I love studying with. You know, he's fluent in Hebrew, he's fluent in probably 4 or 5 languages. He's learning Aramaic, and we really bounce off each other, and he's just a great friend of mine. Herman?
Somebody said you're possibly doing baptisms?
I just said that. I said it. I think it was me. Yeah, if anybody would like to be baptized, like I said, just talk to me because we'll have to, probably Monday night, we'll have to just get together and go over a few things before that and what to bring. So like I said, Wednesday we're going to do that. We'll be having, Benjamin will be speaking. We'll do the video Wednesday night. Thursday on the family day, we're going to be at the YMCA and Gary is going to be speaking. He's got a very good message he's going to give. And Thursday night we'll have, like I said, the Bible study back over here. So each day we'll remind you, we'll have it on the board, so there's no problem with that. The only other thing I wanted to mention is my wife Petra, who does not work, kind of does as a hobby on the side. She makes bags and different bags and stuff. So she has these bags here. If anybody was interested in a backpack or whatever, she'll have them out here. She sells them in front afterward. And again, you're not obligated, but if you like the bag and you want a backpack, it's up to you. All right, and that's about it. Let's get into the Bible study. It's very interesting today. I was talking about Jerusalem. But do you know, beside Jerusalem, there's more scriptures and more said in the Bible about Babylon than any other city on earth or even in Israel? Matter of fact, there's whole chapters that are just talked about on Babylon. And it's probably one of the most misunderstood subjects, you know, in Scripture. So I want to go over this, and again, like I said, my messages this feast are going to be very nuts and bolts because I'm tired of replacement theology. And I'm tired of replacement theology in our congregations. And I've had problems even within our congregations on this subject of Babylon. And even some of the elders in our congregations that have disagreed with me have never been able to give me one Scripture. And when they have written me about this to say, please don't preach this, and I write back with questions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I never hear from them again. So what we're doing is we're looking for what is the truth, is the bottom line. Now when I'm done tonight, I'll open up the floor. If I'm wrong, if you disagree with me, please, you can stand up and give your opinion, but you better have scripture to back it up, because I have a lot of scripture here to back up what I have to say. I've studied this now for 10 years, and I am telling you, there is no other nation on earth who fits end time Babylon than America. We'll go over, and like I said, you got a pen and pen? Write down Russia, America, Catholic Church, write whatever you think Babylon could be. And as we go over each scripture, just put a check mark. Because it can't be everything, and it's got to fit every scripture. If there's even one scripture that doesn't fit, then it can't be true. So sure, there could be certain scriptures that can fit more than one nation, but it's got to fit more. And we'll go over specifically why Babylon can't be the Catholic Church, why it can't be Iraq, because it doesn't fit the biblical criteria of who end time Babylon is. The first thing I want to start out with, I have studied history for almost 25 years. I'm not claiming to be a doctorate in history or whatever, but I know enough about biblical history and nations around Israel to know much of biblical history. And Jeremiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 17 and 18 are four full chapters completely on Babylon. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Jeremiah 50 and 51 is already fulfilled because it's Old Testament. I challenge anybody. Show me where Jeremiah 50 and 51 ever happened in history. When Babylon, ancient Babylon, was destroyed by Persia, Cyrus the Mede came in there, and one night there was the great 350-foot walls of Babylon. There was the river that came under the walls. He diverted the river. The soldiers came up under the wall. They opened the two-leaved gates that was prophesied 200 years before that. Read Isaiah 44 and 45. It happened exactly that way. They came in the city, and in one night they overtook Babylon. There was no killing of people. There was no fleeing of Jews. There was no mass murdering. And everything you see in Jeremiah 50 and 51 has never happened. And any good commentary you have will say that. They'll say this must be talking about a future event because it never happened before. And I'm going to show you scriptures in Jeremiah 50 and 51 that clearly it's end time. There's no doubt about it. One way you know end time scriptures, in that day and at that time. It's a Jewish idiom. Whenever you see that, it's millennium or very close to millennium. You know, clearly. So we're going to see that Jeremiah 50 and 51, like I said, it's never happened. We have to let the word stand on what it says. We have to know the difference between an idiom or not. The first point I want to make about Babylon, and it'll kind of knock off right off the bat why Babylon is not the Catholic Church or any other church, is Babylon is a land. Very clearly, Babylon is a land. I'm going to go over some scriptures. Some of them I'll go over a little quicker than others. But with this, there's quite a few of them. Just to make a point, you don't have to turn to all of them, but you can write them down. Jeremiah 50 and verse 8. Flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flock. The land of the Chaldeans. And interesting, the word Chaldean means astrologer. One of the keys of who Babylon is. Babylon is into worshiping astrology. Check your stars out today. Hey, I'm a Pisces. Everywhere in America, all channels that are set up strictly. Call this 800 number. Check your star. You don't see that anywhere in the world. Nowhere in the world do you see phone networks and people just every day living by this nonsense. But a point of Babylon. Jeremiah 50 and 38. A drought is on her waters and they are dried up. For it is the land of idols and they boast themselves in idols. Jeremiah 50:39. So the beasts of the desert shall dwell there with jackals, and the daughters of the ostrich shall dwell in her again. And it shall not again have anyone in it forever, and it shall not be lived in until generation and generation. Clearly, again, a land. Jeremiah 50, verse 40. As Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbor states Yahweh, so no man shall live there, nor shall son of man stay in it. Clearly, a place. Jeremiah 50:45. So hear the counsel of Yahweh that he has planned against Babylon, his purposes which he has purposed against the land of the astrologers or Chaldeans. Surely they shall drag them and the least of the flock. Surely he will make their dwellings desolate over them. Jeremiah 51 and verse 2. And I will send foreigners to Babylon who will sift her and empty her land. For in the day of evil they shall be against her all around. Jeremiah 51:29. And the land trembles and writhes in pain, for every purpose of Yahweh shall be done against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a waste without one living in it. Jeremiah 51:43. Her cities have become a ruin, a dry in the wilderness, a land in which no man dwells, nor does any son of man pass by it. Jeremiah 51:54. A sound of a cry from Babylon in great ruin from the land of the Chaldeans. Revelation 18 and verse 2. And he cried in a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the Great has fallen, it has fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean bird, even having been hated. So here we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 right off the bat. I'm not giving you all of them because we don't have time. But right off the bat, Babylon is a land. I mean, how many scriptures, and be honest with yourself, we go up to people and we try to prove doctrines on sometimes one minute scripture, and that's why we have half the heresies we have, because people are putting private interpretation into one minute scripture. Here you have 10 scriptures, without, and there's more, that clearly say Babylon is a land, and I'll give a message like this, and someone will raise their hand afterwards and get up, but I still think it's the Catholic Church. It's like, what are you reading? You know, can we agree? First off, Babylon is a land. Scripture says it 10 times. How many times does Scripture have to say something for us to believe it? So once we set that premise that Babylon is a land, let's not keep going back to Catholic Church and this and that. It's replacement theology. Clearly, Yahweh says it's a dwelling place, it's a land. Now we can discuss which land. Just because it's a land, it doesn't have to be America. But now we can start going into characteristics claiming it's a land. And I go with people with this all the time. And then when I prove it's a, you know, first they're saying it's the Catholic Church. And then you prove it's a land. And then they say, okay, well, it's Rome. And then you go into scriptures proving it can't be Rome. And then they're back to it's the Catholic Church again. And it's like, well, what is it? You know, it's like you're playing this little shell game sometimes with people. And sometimes when you talk to people, they say, oh, well, that's spiritual. Oh, well, that's spiritual. Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
It's spiritual. Usually, the next time when someone tells you that, that's spiritual, you know what they're saying? I don't know what it is. That's what they're saying. When they say, well, that's spiritual, they're saying, I really don't know what it is. Because spiritual, to most people, means nothing. It means it's fake. It means it's something in the air. Where to Yahweh, spiritual means it's real. There's a realm. There's a physical realm and a spiritual realm. But there's a real realm that's spiritual. And when people try to say, well, that's spiritual, and they say it means nothing, it just isn't going by what Scripture says. Babylon has a system of world democracy, but it is the country or the land of America, also called Maranatha, that has brought the system to the world. So some people will say Babylon is only a system. What did we just read? It's not only a system. It is a land. Of course, the land has a system, and they have brought the system to the world. That's what the Father's upset about. He's not upset about the beautiful mountains of Colorado or Niagara Falls. He's upset about the system that Babylon has brought to the world. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. See, as Americans, I'll be honest with you. 10 years I've teaching this all over the world. I have never, ever once, and my wife can be my witness, even had one person in one group outside of America ever even doubt it for a second. Because the scriptures are so clear. Matter of fact, there is more proof that America is Babylon than you can prove than even believing Yeshua is the Messiah. Because to believe Yeshua is the Messiah, there's a point you have to take on faith because Yeshua is not living right next to you. To believe America is Babylon, all you have to do is pick up a Wall Street Journal. It says that Babylon trades 18 things more than any other nation. And they name them gold, silver, ivory. Pick up a Wall Street Journal. Only America has a commodity exchange. Nowhere in the world can you change these things. So someone who's an atheist can see this. Because there's not an ounce of faith you have to believe in Babylon. All you have to do is pick up a Wall Street Journal. To believe in Yeshua or believe in these other things, there has to be an amount of faith. Because we didn't live 2,000 years ago. So there's an element of faith that we have to believe that the Bible is true and the person that lived. With Babylon, there's no faith involved. All you have to do is look at what's happening in the world today, and you'll see there's only one person who could fit that. Who else? Tell me. Where else is there those 25 things named in Revelation 18, 9 through 18, where those things are traded anywhere else in the world except the commodity exchanges in America? None. I mean, that's a pretty good proof. 25 specific things Yahweh chain names there.
It says they're imported.
Imported and exported.
I think the Bible says imported.
Yeah, well, look at America's trade deficit right now. America has the biggest trade deficit ever in the history of any country. It's going in the trillions of dollars. They're importing more than they're exporting. And that's part of the problem why the national debt keeps going up. America is one-third of the world economy. One-third. No other nation even comes anywhere close. If any nation collapsed tomorrow, including China, the world would move on. If America collapsed tomorrow, it would collapse the whole world economy. And I'm telling you, we live outside. Whenever there's been a crisis, the world is waiting for Wall Street to wake up. The stock markets here are down 500 points. If Wall Street don't go down, they'll immediately go up. If you don't see the financial engine of the world is America, then you're not, you really don't know that much about finance, I'm telling you. One-third of the world economy is one nation. One-third. So, again, the biggest thing to Babylon is trading. They were a trading nation from their youth. Jeremiah 15, verse 12. What other nation has been a trading nation from their youth? Face it, most nations have been agricultural and have become trading nations. Jeremiah 50, verse 12. Babylon is also the last of the superpowers. And that word in Hebrew means last, not meaning least, but last in succession. Who has been the last superpower to arise in our time? You know, even when you look at things like Syria, they've been around for thousands of years. America is the last of the superpowers. Very, very clear. So, clearly we can see, we can right off the bat say, the Catholic Church does not fit Babylon. And there's nothing in Scripture that says that a woman always has to be a church. You know, from Rome, show me. Like I said, I'm going to open the floor when we're done. We can debate till midnight if we want to. I'm more than happy to do that. But show me a church where a woman always has to be a church. To me, I see a woman compared to the nation of Israel, a nation. I don't see a woman has to be a church unless you're reading Hal Lindsey's books or something like that. You know, but again, it's all this replacement theology that has come in from the ecumenical movement, and they're not going to the Scriptures in reading the Scriptures. What about Iraq? Some people will say it's a good, you know, guess because Babylon was in Iraq. And I'm talking a lot about replacement theology, right? So is it replacement theology to say Babylon's in America? Well, it could be if it wasn't a mystery. And it talks not only about Babylon, but it talks about the daughters of Babylon. Right? So there's more than just Babylon. Now, why couldn't Iraq be Babylon? Number one, Jeremiah 51:13. Oh, you who live by many waters, rich in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your unjust gain. And that word for waters there, it's talking about fresh waters. That Babylon is surrounded by fresh waters. It's a very blessed land. Iraq does not fit that. Iraq does not have freshwater seaports. And the funny part about it is, like I said, the biggest characteristic of Babylon is they are the world trader. They are the world economy. To say Iraq could be Babylon is a joke. Iraq is the least trading country in the world. I mean, before Saddam Hussein went down, they didn't trade with anybody. They have more sanctions against them from the UN than any country in the world. They don't even have an economy. So there's no way that Iraq would fit end time Babylon. Mystery Babylon. What was that, Linda?
Saudi Arabia?
Well, again, wait till the end, because we're going to go through list by list. But Saudi Arabia wouldn't be the world's number one economy. But that's just one thing. But like I said, as we go through each one, I know for Americans it's hard. You always want to think it's got to be something else. But, you know, hey, believe me, I'm an American and I'm not happy with this either. Okay, Jeremiah 15, verse 37. Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50 and verse 37. Babylon is a melting pot. Let me just go to the scripture. It said, a sword is upon her horses and upon her chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in her midst of her. And they shall become as women, a sword is upon her treasures, and they are robbed. So Babylon is a melting pot. It's filled with mingled people. If we go to Revelation 18, I don't have it here in my notes, but I'll find the scripture in a second. Revelation 17 and verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Very clearly, Babylon's a melting pot. So that's another thing you have to put down. Like I said, put each characteristic. Number one, economy in the world. Surrounded by fresh waters. A nation that's a melting pot. A nation that's a trading nation and a young nation. That's what we've gone over so far.
Young.
Another reason why Iraq would not fit the characteristics is Isaiah 13:20, that it says when Babylon is destroyed, it will never be rebuilt. And we know ancient Babylon has already been rebuilt by Saddam Hussein. He was doing that years ago. And, you know, there's buildings and everything. Isaiah 13 and verse 20 is that verse. Another reason why Iraq cannot be Babylon. It talks about, and we'll get into these scriptures a little later, that Babylon will be completely destroyed. I read one or two already in another reference. But it says, no one will dwell there forever. So there'll be nobody dwelling in Babylon. Yet, if we go to Genesis 15, Genesis 15, and one verse, verse 18. It says, in the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto your seed have I given the land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And we went over this extensively the other day, that in the millennium, the promised land will go up to Lebanon, down through Egypt, from the Mediterranean, all the way to the Euphrates River. Iraq is part of the promised land. So if it's completely destroyed and no one ever lives in it, it can't be the land of Iraq. Because the physical land of Iraq today is going to be part of the promised land when Yeshua returns. So very clearly another reason why Iraq just does not fit hardly anything, except for the fact that it was ancient Babylon. But I do believe the system of Babylon has moved. I believe Rome was Babylon going back in ancient times, and it was a system of world democracy that has moved from place to place. There's been seven world empires that it's moved in from Scripture, and America is the only country that fits the end time Babylon. How about Rome? Some people will say Rome. Well, again, we went over already that Rome would not be the world's economy. Rome doesn't sit on freshwater seaports. But the main reason people will say Rome could be Babylon is because Rome sits on seven hills. And in Revelation 17:9, we can go there. And it's a good guess. I'm not trying to criticize. You know, the only bad guess is the one we don't make. So the way, by guessing, we learn, we talk about things, and we come to the knowledge of the truth. And verse 17 of Revelation verse 9, and here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, Rome sits on seven hills, but Babylon sits on seven mountains. And the difference is, the word in the Greek for hills is bonios. It's actually a Latin word, and it literally means the seven hills of Rome. That's what bonios means. It doesn't just mean hills. It's a Latin word that specifically means the seven hills of Rome. In Revelation, the word is oros. The woman sits on seven mountains. So now, if it was talking about Rome, and the Holy Spirit inspired it, which I believe it did, then why wouldn't it inspire the word bonios? And then we would have definitely known it had to be the seven hills of Rome, but it didn't. The whore sits on seven mountains, not seven hills. And if you look in the Bible, mountains are equated with countries. What was that, Walter? Okay. Mountains are equated with countries. You know, in Ezekiel, I believe it's Ezekiel 3 or 4, he says, go to the mountains of Israel. And this is Israel that's in diaspora. And some of those scriptures are talking for our day. You know, that some of the lands were northern Israel lives, like America and some of these places, are going to be judged, you know, because of the things going on. But clearly mountains are equated with land, you know, with countries or land mass. And I believe it could also be talking about the seven land masses of their seven continents. But that word Oros literally means large land mass. That's the literal meaning of it. Okay, so we already disproved it could be the Catholic Church or any church. It can't be Iraq. It can't be Rome. What about some people will tell me, well, Babylon is the beast. You know, Babylon's the beast. Well, is Babylon the beast? Let's go to Revelation 17. And we'll prove that Babylon cannot be the beast because the beast destroys Babylon. They are two separate entities. They are not the same entity, and we'll prove that here. Revelation 17. I'll start 1 through 5. And there came one of the seven cherubs, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." Again, we said, a characteristic, many freshwater seaports. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, showing the royalty, the richness of the country, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery." Okay, it's a mystery. It's not ancient Babylon. There's a mystery here that we have to understand. "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." Very interesting. The word great there is megala. It literally means superpower. Babylon is a superpower. That's another characteristic. If you go to Jeremiah 50 and verse 23, it says that Babylon is the hammer of all the earth. And literally, that's a Jewish idiom that means world policeman. Another characteristic. Babylon is the world policeman. So, I mean, here we are. We're adding up. This is, it's getting heavy. They're the number one economic power in the world economic power. They're a pretty young nation. They're a trading nation from their youth. They're the world policeman, and we're going to see in a minute, the number one military in the world. There's not a lot of ambiguity here in who it could be. You know, once you go into all these characteristics, there's no... And you want to know something? I've had people actually try to argue with me that America is not the world policeman. Or the only world superpower. And I probably have at least 100 times seen on TV, just on BBC and regular TV, that from our own country, I heard an interview with Dick Cheney several times and Colin Powell say, it ain't easy being the world's only superpower. Or where there's a crisis, we're going to see what the world's only superpower does. And again, if you're thinking that America is not the world's only superpower, not the hammer of the earth, you know, the world policeman, you have your head in the sand. It's just crazy. It's almost nuts. It's like saying Islam is a peaceful religion. You know, it's like, where are we going? It's like, come on. You're not watching. We're told to watch and pray. And some of these simple things, we could debate some of the other things. But come on, some of the simple things, we shouldn't have to debate. You know, is there anyone who can question that America is the world's only superpower right now? They're losing it quickly. There's others rising. But who has been the world superpower? You know, who is riding the beast? Who is running the UN? America. Without a doubt, America is riding the beast. There's no doubt about that. Let's continue here. Let's go down at verse 11. Before I go, let me just comment one thing on verse 4 about the scarlet and the gold and the purple. It shows royalty. And look what it is. She's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication. So isn't this interesting? The Yahweh says Babylon is gold, which is precious. So Babylon has been precious to Yahweh, yet inside is filled with every abomination and filthiness. And believe me, America has been used by the Father in a great way. He's given them riches, he's given them blessings, he's given them freedom, So that in the end time, the Philadelphia era of the Father's organization can preach the gospel. And I believe the word is published. I don't believe it's one organization taking their form of doctrine. Because it says this gospel will be published. And it's talking about this book, the Bible, which has gone to every nation in the world. And how did it go? America. You look from 1900, for 100 years, it's been America sending the missionaries, America sending the Bibles. America has done a great thing, and I'm telling you, America has the kindest, most giving people in the world. That's why we get taken advantage of. You know, that's why we go to places, and we're doing missionary work, and people just want to grab money. I don't see Europeans giving the way Americans do. So I'm not just hitting down on America, and I feel bad for the people, because I'm telling you, I've been to many places in the world, and I've never met more giving people in my life than Americans. It's just a fact. But what's happened is, by our government and by the things we have, we've become moral laxity now. And we've become such a cesspool of a nation, it's unbelievable. The homosexuality, all the abominations, all the things that's going on, and we brought that culture. That's the whole problem now. America wants to bring democracy to the Middle East. What does that mean? Levi's jeans, you know, and all these other things, and freedom of religion and homosexuality. That's what they want to bring. That's what they're calling freedom. And they brought it to every place. So they were a golden cup, but inside of that cup is filled with abominations. Verse 11 through 13. And the beast that was, so now let's get to the beast. First we saw the woman riding the beast. Two entities. There's a woman riding and there's an actual beast. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is master of master and king of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the horse sits are people and multitude of nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, so this is the beast, these shall hate the whore, Babylon, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Clearly, the beast is not Babylon. Babylon rides the beast, and then the beast destroys her. Very simple. I mean, these scriptures are not that hard to figure out. We don't have to go deep into the language to do that. There is a beast and there is Babylon. So, clearly from scripture, Babylon is not the beast. Let's look at some other characteristics. Habakkuk 1. Let's back up to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1. Starting in verse 5, we'll see the great military might of Babylon. Look among the nations and see and be amazed. For a work is working in your day which you will not believe though it be told to you. For behold, I raise up the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the bitter and impetuous nation which is going into the broad spaces of the land to possess dwellings not their own. As I read this, I think this is exactly the way America became a nation. You know, the Louisiana Purchase, they went into the broad spaces of the land, taking places that were not their own. And I wonder sometimes when the Americans keep telling the Israelis to give the land back, how would they feel if the Indians were saying the same thing? I mean, that wasn't that long ago, just a couple of hundred years, and it was their land. They were there first. You know, it's pretty provable. He is terrible and fearful. His judgment and his glory goes forth from him. His horses are also swifter than leopards and are fiercer than the evening wolves. And their horsemen spread themselves. Yea, their horsemen come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle hurrying to eat. All of him shall come for violence. The eager of their faces is forward. And they shall be captive like the sand. And he shall scoff against the kings and officials shall be a scorn to him. He shall scorn every fortress and he shall heap up dirt and capture it. Who else in this world today scoffs at kings and princes? Who else? Do you remember not too long ago when we went to war in Iraq? That the whole world said, you are not going to do this. The United Nations voted against it. And what did George Bush do? He laughed at them. He called them cowards. They're not ready to move up to take the step. And America did what they were going to do. And it's like anything else. When America feels they have to move, they don't care what anybody else thinks. They are going to do what's in their best interest. It's just a fact. And, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy to it. You know, America is trying to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons, yet America has more nuclear weapons than anybody on earth. And they're the only country that ever used them. But we're doing it for the good of everyone. That's Babylon. A lot of hypocrisy. We went into Jeremiah 50:23. Babylon is literally the world policeman. Another scripture, very interesting, Jeremiah 51:44. Jeremiah 51:44, "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him, yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall." The nations gather, literally in the Hebrew, it says they gather, they assemble in Babylon. Which country on earth do all the nations gather and assemble? Where is the United Nations? New York City. Every empire has a city and a state and a country. You know, and New York is the city of Babylon. America is the country of Babylon. Just like Babylon was a city and a country. You know, it's representative of both of them. And, you know, it isn't too far to see. New York definitely fits the characteristics. Look at Revelation 17:18. "And the woman whom you saw is the great city having a kingdom over the kings of the earth." So whoever Babylon is, all the nations assemble in Babylon. Like I said, only place United Nations is in the United States and New York. Now here's the one that's hard for people to accept. Babylon is also world-renowned for her prideful attitude and pleasure-seeking hearts. She is so full of pride, she believes that she will never stop being the world's only superpower. And the things I'm going to read to you, I have heard people, including my mother, tell me these words word for word. "We will never be destroyed. No way. America will never go down. It's impossible." And it's like, you don't know your history. There's been, every empire has gone down. It's got to go down. Daniel 2:44. Yeshua returns and he crushes every kingdom. And logically think to yourself, you know, people that are hoodwinked into thinking that America is this Christian nation and they're here for helping. If Yeshua returned tomorrow, who would be the first one to Armageddon to fight him with everything they had? America. In the name of freedom, in the name of democracy. You know why? Because it's a hate crime to believe the things Yeshua is bringing. He's going to kill every homosexual. That's a hate crime according to the UN. You know, there's going to be no freedom of religion. This guy, he's the anti-Messiah. We better kill him. America would be the first one to Armageddon in the name of freedom. And it's true. It's the way the world is today. And in all these movies, they make these prophecy movies, and they always make Europe the evil one, and America's the one that comes in the end, and they're the savior. And it's just not true. Not to say Europe is going to be any better. They're actually worse. Because as bad as Babylon is, Yahweh help us when Babylon goes down. Because, you know, if in ancient times when you were conquered, you wanted to be conquered by Babylon. There was no better nation to be conquered from by Babylon. They allowed you to bring all your false gods into their country. They allowed you citizenship. You had a great life in Babylon. To the point when Israel, Judah, went into captivity into Babylon in 586 to 572. After the 70 years when they were coming back, only 10% came back to Israel. The others said, we got a good life in Babylon. And look at it today. If you're a country, who would you rather be destroyed by? America. Any country America has ever beat up militarily, they have built them up better than what they were before. It's a fact. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, what are we doing in Iraq? We're destroying it to give them hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild it. You know, they're building there now, it's called Amerirak. They're building a city that's going to sovereignty be American soil there in Iraq. Which is really interesting if you look at America now is occupying ancient Iraq. If that isn't the, you know, ironic part of it. You talk about Babylon. There's a scripture, I think it's in something like Ezekiel 21:30. It's talking to Babylon. He says, in the place of your nativity, in the place you were created, there I will judge you. When I read that after they went into Iraq, I said, well, they're not coming out. They're not coming out. Something's going to happen there, and before they come out of Iraq, judgment's going to come. But let's go to Isaiah 47. Let's read of the American attitude. It says, Isaiah 47:4, "Our Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silent and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for they shall no more call you the mistress of kingdoms," or the lady of kingdoms. The big lady with the torch, remember? I was angry with my people. I defiled my inheritance and gave them into your hand. 80 million Israelites are living in Babylon. I gave my inheritance into your hand. And for what reason? To give them freedom? No place on earth could a Jew go before World War II to be safe but America. And it's actually in prophecy. I probably won't have time, but read it later, Jeremiah 25. He tells Judah to go into Babylon. He tells them to live there, build houses. You're going to be there for a while. Only place on earth that Jews were safe before World War II was America. Going back to Isaiah 47, verse 6. I was angry with my people. I defiled my inheritance and gave them into your hand. You gave them no mercy. You made your yoke on the aged very heavy. And you said, I shall be a mistress forever, until you did not see these things in your heart and you did not remember its end. Now then, hear this, O pleasure seeker, who lives carelessly, who says in her heart, I am, and there is none else. I shall not be a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. Literally, they're saying, I am. They're making themselves out to be gods. And that's why I said, you look at America, from the time you're this big, the only goal in life is get a good education so you can make a lot of money and a big house for yourself. It is not ingrained in our children and all in our culture to grow up and work for Yahweh and serve people. Never. It's not there. Success is, you talk to parents who will tell you about, oh, my son's a doctor. Oh, he's a computer program. Oh, yeah. He's got. When we go to our relatives, all they talk about is how big their houses is. Oh, and his house is 8,000 square. Do you see his living room? It's over and over and over. And that's the American. And honestly, we have lived out of the States. We went all over the world. I have never seen that culture anywhere on earth than America. And I'm telling you, there has never been more hatred for Americans than today. Hatred because of this. Because of the callous attitude, and a lot has to do with our government now and the military going into these places, rallying people up. But going into verse 9 here. But these two things shall suddenly come on you in one day. Loss of children and widowhood, according to completeness, they shall come on you for your many sorceries, for the multitude of your great spells. For you trusted in your evil, and you said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it is turning you back. Your wisdom and your knowledge. You know, where more than anything are we a knowledge-based society? We went from in America being the greatest producing country in the world to basically producing nothing now. We're a middleman. Everybody's a manager. I wonder, how does this work? Everyone's a manager. Nobody works. You know why? Because all our production is where? You could wear a Gucci shirt and look at the tag where it's coming from. Made in the Philippines. Made in Brazil. Made in Mexico. Well, you know what? Wow, I only paid $18 for this. You know why? Because some poor soul is working in a sweatshop for 10 cents an hour. Do you know the average person in the world today makes between $1 and $5 per week? That's almost 80% of the world. That's what they make, $1 to $5 a week. And we've been there. We've seen it. We've seen the way these are our brothers and sisters. You know, when we do some testimonies, maybe our brethren from the Philippines will share some. But these are our brothers and sisters. And they are being taken advantage of. And it's because of our system. And I've heard people say, oh, it's not that bad. Well, yeah. If you're living in Babylon and you're living in the 5,000 square foot house, it's not that bad. But is that the reason that Yahweh blessed Babylon? Is that the reason why Yahweh blessed America? Did He bless us to have 5,000 square foot? Did He sit up there and say, Yeshua, we need a banker. We need somebody who can finance us in the end time to get this work done. Who can we trust? You know what? Let's trust the Americans. They've been good people. We can trust them. They can be our banker. Okay. Do you think they'll do it? Do you think they'll help them? Oh, yeah, yeah. We can trust them. And what's happened? It's turned around, and we are enslaving. It says in Revelation 18:23, Babylon is made slaves of the souls of men. And they have. To themselves as well as these other nations. And it's grieving. And more than talking about a nation and all these characteristics, I do this to show you dogmatically who Babylon is. But what grieves me is the system that America has brought to the world. I pray, I wish that my brothers and sisters in America could see how evil our system of world democracy is. And I hear people say, well, there's nothing better. You be one of those billion people who are rice pickers in the world for a dollar a week. And you tell me there's nothing better. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you work 12, 14 hours and have no hope of nothing. Just go and come back. Get your bowl of rice. And you tell me that that's the best system in the world. If it's not working for almost 80% of the world, it can't be that good. It can't be. And if they're looking to bring democracy to the world, why don't they open free trade to Africa? Africa has some of the best land and produce that you can imagine in the world. They won't let them sell it free trade on the market. I was just in Uganda. They have one of the best coffee trades that they have in the world there. The world, IMS, International Monetary Fund, they will not let them sell it for fair price. You know what they do, like in Kenya? Kenya, the ladies, they have a basket on their back with their baby. They pick for 10 hours a day tea. They make 10 cents a barrel. They're lucky if they can do 2 barrels a day with their baby on their back. And then, you know where all that tea goes to? It goes to one commodity. They can't sell it to the highest bidder. It goes to one commodity, and America picks up everything for nothing. And then they jack the price up on our shelves. That's world democracy. That's what it is. And I'm telling you, it is evil. And that's why I pray every day for the abominations going on in this earth. Because it doesn't matter that I'm living good. And I feel I'm living good just because I have clothes on my back. I have a bed to sleep in. I don't care that I don't have a lot of money. I have every need. You don't know how many times people ask us, can we do something for you? And I can honestly say, we have everything. We don't need anything, personally. You know, we have our needs met. Because when I see people that are suffering, I know they're I'm 100 times better off than them. You know, we fast because we draw close to Yahweh, but not because we don't have food. And I'm telling you, the way these people live would break your heart. And that's world democracy in action. And that's really the key of Babylon, what it's about. Let's go over a few other scriptures. One thing that's interesting, we were talking before here about Jeremiah 17 and talked about the woman, Babylon, the woman, and you know, she has this golden cup in her hand, and she has a 7-spike crown. Something very interesting happened about 12 years ago. When Saddam Hussein was rebuilding ancient Babylon, they found the ancient cuneiform writings of ancient Babylon. It was one of the greatest finds you can find in the history of archaeology. And they found something very interesting. They used to think that Ishtar, or Ishtari, the goddess of Babylon, was a prostitute. And yet what they found out in here, that she wasn't a prostitute, she was actually called the mother of immigrants. She had royal and purple robes on. She had a 7-spike crown. She had either a torch or a cup in her hand. And she had the law of Hammurabi like this. Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty everywhere you look. Which, Statue of Liberty is actually the biggest idol in the world. I don't know if you knew that. The biggest single idol in the world is the Statue of Liberty. Also, when you come in for the piers in New York, the boats that come in and they make the turn into the harbor, the very first thing they see when they come into New York, the only place on earth that's named it, is Babylon, New York. Gigantic water tower. Welcome to Babylon. So, you know, it talks about the seamen and the ships, they stand afar crying because they don't sell their merchandise anymore. I'm telling you, America goes down, the world economy goes down. But that's the first thing they see when the ships come in. Welcome to Babylon. But there's something more compelling to me to show me that America's Babylon more than any other scripture. And it comes in Jeremiah 50. Let's go back to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, which we will see a very interesting characteristic about Babylon, and we will also see that this is definitely for the end times. Jeremiah 50, verse 4, in those days and at that time, remember what I said? Whenever you see in those days, at that time, Jewish idiom meaning end time, so we definitely know the time frame. In those days and at that time, saith Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh their Elohim. Regathering. Now isn't it very interesting? The children of Judah and the children of Ephraim come together, the children of Israel and the children of Judah. Has this ever happened? Has Ephraim and Judah ever come from captivity together, weeping and coming back to the land? Of course not. So how can someone say, oh, that happened already, Jeremiah 15:51? So think about it. Be characteristic. Whoever Babylon is, they have more Jews and Israelites living in them than any other nation. That knocks a lot of people out. Because in the end time, Jews and Israelites are coming from Babylon back to the homeland. Now, there is more Jews living in America than even living in Israel. They're the number one place on earth, and we know, my guess would be at least 80 million Americans are Israelites. It's getting less and less. You're getting a lot more foreigners coming in there. But by far, more Israelites and Jews are living in America than any other country. And then look, verse 5. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Never happened yet. Go down to verse 19. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Mount Gilead. Look today, Mount Ephraim, Mount Gilead is the West Bank, is where Arabs are. This has not happened yet. In verse 20, in those days and at that time, again in time, saith Yahweh, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there is none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Very, very clearly in time. So one of the major characteristics of Babylon is that there are more Jews and Israelites living in Babylon than anywhere else. Very important. Isaiah 47:13, I won't read the whole scripture, but it talks about Babylon being wearied with the multitude of their councils. So another thing is Babylon is a democracy. They have a multitude of councils, so that knocks out a lot of other nations right there. This is a good one. Let's go to Isaiah 47:9. Says, but these two things shall suddenly come on you in one day, loss of children and widowhood, according to completeness they shall come on you, for your many sorceries, for the multitude of your great spells. So we see here that, let me read 12 and 13 also. Isaiah 47, drop down to 12 and 13. Stand now with your enchantments and with the multitude of your sorceries where you have labored from your youth. If so be you shall be able to profit, so be you may prevail. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly pronosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. So definitely Babylon is into the occult. Big, big characteristic of Babylon. You know, when Ronald Reagan was in office, that not only was him and his wife heavily into the occult, and many presidents, George Bush also, that they would not make a major decision without consulting the stars. And they admitted that. That's open. He even wrote books about it. Very much. Hillary Clinton was doing channeling to the dead wife of Roosevelt, Eleanor Roosevelt. So much stuff, even in the White House, with this stuff going on. If we go to Revelation 18... we'll see another scripture on the same subject. Verse 23. And the light of the candle shall no more be heard in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall no longer be heard of you in all. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries were all the nations deceived. That word for sorcery in the Greek is pharmakia. They have deceived the nations by their pharmakia, their medicine. I mean, if you go in America today, I'm telling you, people ain't on one pill. They got everybody on two pills, three pills. Pfizer, Merck, all of them. You know, and they are holding these people. And why are they called drugs? Because they take your mind. They take your mind away. So that's another thing. Babylon is the leader in drugs.
And all those drug companies are made in Boston, not owned by Germans?
Part of it, but you have more drug taking in America than any place on earth. Yeah, part of them.
Actually, the stock hold is sold. And the stock hold is mostly coming from America. They have the money.
I know Merck. I didn't think Merck was German. They're one of the biggest.
Yeah, 10 top pharmaceuticals operate over 50% of the value of the stock market. That's how it stacks up financially.
Which pharmaceuticals?
The 10 top pharmaceuticals on the New York Stock Exchange trade over 50% of the value, the total value of all the other companies.
Oh, yeah. Drugs is bigger than oil.
Lynn? Even if the German companies own it, it's still traded in the stock market.
True. I worked for a medical company, and there's many U.S. medical companies that are silent partners.
Really?
Yes. To the German-owned drug companies.
That's right.
The one that I worked for was, and it was very large.
Alrighty, let's go to Jeremiah 51. We'll hit another one, another point here. So I want to move on. I want to finish shortly so we could open up the floor to some comments and questions and good debate. Jeremiah 51 and verse 9. Jeremiah 51 says, verse 9 says, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, everyone, to his own country, for a judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up unto the skies." Verse 53 of that same chapter says, "Though Babylon should mount up to the heavens, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come from her, says Yahweh." So, Babylon has a space program. She's mounting up to the heavens. She's fortifying her height in the sky. Very interesting, the word in Hebrew for to mount up, do you know what it is? NASA. So Babylon has a space program, and even in Scripture we know what the name was. NASA, to ascend up to the skies. Again, I think none of us would argue America's had and still continues to have the best space program. Let's go into a little bit now, because I want to end up here one way or the other within about 10 minutes. The fate of Babylon. Because tomorrow night, the study is going to be more on what comes after Babylon. So, I think at this point, I think we've pretty much put the nail in the coffin. And like I said, as we debate it, we can hear if anyone wants to say. But if you look at all the characteristics, the world policeman, the number one military, the number one economic in the world, the number one space program, a trading nation, number one in pharmaceutical, pleasure-seeking pride, you know, living in luxury more than anybody else. I don't think it's that hard to figure out who it is. You know, it's not that hard. It is a land, it is a nation, you know, and it's like, someone, you know, and then you'll look at someone throwing out someone who doesn't even fit one out of the 30. It's like, logically think about it. You know, when we go to the floor, if you're going to tell me someone who you think is Babylon, make sure they fit all these characteristics. I didn't spend an hour here for nothing. You know, and if they do, that's fine. We can talk about it. But make sure they're the number one military in the world, the number one economic, they're a trader, they're all the things we went over. You know, and there's only one nation who fits all these things. You know, if we're honest with you. And that's why I say, anywhere in the world I preach this in 10 years, the people are blown away because most have never heard it. But I've never had anybody who has ever argued the fact. And they're all agreeing with it because they understand it. And that's part of the problem. That Babylon is so blinded to their own sin that everyone in the world can see it but them. It's like Laodicean. You are rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. Don't you know you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable and naked? And it's a hard fact, and I speak to myself first because I'm a Babylonian. And I just told someone the other day, until Yeshua returns, I will never get this out of me, and it grieves me. I used to thank Yahweh every day that I was born American, that I never had to have want or food until I started traveling to other countries. And boy, you want to talk about repentance. And I know, as much as I try to change every day, I will never get this out of me. I mean, I go to Uganda and I see people. There was a man who was our cook who just got married, and he stayed there all night just in case I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and wanted a drink of water or something. He left his new bride. And you don't have to do it. It is our honor, sir. It is our honor. And it's not because of me. He would do it for any one of you. They said, if they know a guest is coming, they will stay up all night and wait. Because today is the day the guest is coming. And it's like you see the character of these people, and I say, wow, what happened? You know, what went wrong? And again, it's all the characteristics we're talking about, the pride, the pleasure seeking, the lavish lifestyles. It's ruined us. And we're so blinded, we don't even see where our lifestyle is going somewhere else. I say it's like the stock market. The reason why I don't go in the stock market, because if I'm making money in the stock market, someone else is losing. Someone can't make money unless someone else... That's Satan's system. There is no win-win in Satan's system. If one is winning, one is losing. That's why we shouldn't gamble. You know? If you're betting on a football game, if you're winning on the game, that means someone's losing on the game. If you're playing bingo, 49 people are losing and one is winning. Satan's system is not a win-win situation, the way Yahweh's is. But what is the fate of Babylon? If we go to Jeremiah 50... We'll go through this quickly. Jeremiah 50 and verse 3. For a nation comes up against her from the north, which shall make her land a desert. Yea, no one shall dwell in it. They shall flee. They shall go, both man and animal. And some people have laughed and said, yeah, Canada's going to destroy America. Doesn't say the nation to the north destroys her. It says a nation comes from the north. Just like in Israel. Israel was always attacked from the north, but it was never from Lebanon. When Assyria came here, when Babylon came here, they all came from the north. And if you look to the north of America, there is no border up there. It's absolutely wide open. You know, Russia can come through the heightlands of Canada and easily come down through America. They don't have a border there. They're worried about Mexico. They better worry more to the north. Verse 9, for I am stirring up and bringing up a company of great nations from a northern land against Babylon. So there'll be a company of nations that are going to come against her. And they shall array themselves against her. She shall be captured there. Their arrows shall be as a mighty man, skillful man. They shall not return empty. Verse 21, go up against the land of Maranatha. And it's very interesting. Another thing about what you'll find about Babylon, there are ciphers that are used. The word cipher, it means, in Hebrew, they would take the last letter and put it first, and the second letter and put it next, and they would do this. And the only reason you do that is to hide the person, the name of the place that you're trying to do. So, like I said, I believe when you look at the evidence, there's very clearly, it's not using replacement theology, figuring out who end time Babylon is, because the Bible gives us indications that it's not the nation of Iraq. She's mystery, Babylon, the superpower, the megalon. Ciphers that are used, and like I said, look in any good Bible dictionary, it will tell you the only reason a cipher is used is because they're trading the place. It's not the original person. You wouldn't use a cipher for any other reason. That's why it's called Maranatha, it's called double punishment, all these things. Verse 25, Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought out the weapons of his fury. For this is the work of Yahweh Elohim the host in the land of the astrologers. So clearly what's coming on America, although it will be used by other nations, which we'll get into tomorrow, it is Yahweh's wrath. It is the Father's wrath on the land. Verse 26, come against her from the end, open her granaries, pile up as heaps and utterly destroy her. Do not let a remnant be left. Do not let a remnant be left. And we're going to see here pretty clear, there's nobody left when this is said and done. And I've heard people tell me, the Lord told me that this is going to be a refuge. Really? Which Lord? I'll show you seven scriptures that say there will not be one person left. And all I need is one. If Yahweh says it once, that's good enough for me. Verse 38, a drought is on her waters and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of idols, and they boast themselves in their idols. Hey, Bill, you see my new car? Look at this. You know, still metal. You worship idols of metal and stone? So maybe they're not making a Buddha statue. But when you have that car there, hey, get away from that car. Cleaning it three times a week, showing. It's an idol. It becomes an idol. Verse 39, so the beast of the desert shall dwell there with jackals, and the daughter of the ostrich shall dwell there again, and it shall not again have anyone in it forever. It shall not be lived in from generation to generation. As Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, states Yahweh, so no man shall live there, nor shall a son of man stay in it. Again, the reason why it can't be Iraq. Iraq will be part of the promised land in the end time. Babylon has nobody in it forever. Jeremiah 51 in verse 2, and I will send foreigners to Babylon who will sift her and empty her land, for in the day of evil they shall be against her all around. Jeremiah 51:29, and the land trembles and writhes in pain, for every purpose of Yahweh shall be done against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a waste without even one living in it. Verse 35, the violence done to me in my flesh is on Babylon. The one living in Zion shall say, and Jerusalem shall say, my blood shall be on those living in Chaldea. So Yahweh says this, behold, I will strive for you and take vengeance for you, and I will dry up her sea and make her well dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a home for jackals, a horror and a hissing, without a dweller. Picture's starting to become a little clearer. America's pushing the land of Israel to be divided, pushing these things in the Middle East. And what is the one in Zion going to say? Our blood for what's happening here is on Babylon. This false peace deal we're going to talk about Thursday. Who's bringing it? Who's forcing it? Verse 43. Her cities have become a ruin, a dry land in a wilderness, a land in which no man dwells, nor does any son of man pass by it. Verse 47, so behold, the days come that I will punish on the idols of Babylon, and all her land shall be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in its midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all in them shall shout for Babylon, for the plunderer shall come to her from the north, says Yahweh. As Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, so for Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. It says the same thing in Isaiah 13. Judgment starts on Babylon and then comes to the whole earth. So, Babylon's going to get destroyed. Every last person is going to die. There's going to be nobody left by the time the millennium comes. Where does that leave the believers? Let's look at what the Father says. Jeremiah 15, verse 8. Flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flock. Verse 50:28. The voice of those who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh or Elohim, the vengeance of his temple. Okay, Andy's here. We can start now.
Thanks for coming, Andy.
Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Yea, every man deliver his soul. Do not be silenced in her iniquity, for it is the time of the vengeance of Yahweh. He will give her a just recompense. He will repay her. Jeremiah 51, 45. My people, my believers, my covenant people, go out of her midst, and each man deliver his soul from the fierce anger of Yahweh, and that your heart not faint, and you fear the report that shall be heard in the land. The report shall come in a year, and after that the report shall come in another year, and there will be violence in the land, ruler against ruler. And here's a real interesting one for the people who believe that America is Israel, because the Israelites live there. Look what it says in Zechariah 2, in verse 7. Zechariah 2 and verse 7. Ho, O Zion, escape, you who live with the daughter of Babylon. See, I'm not doubting that 80 million Americans or more are Israelites. There's no doubt about that. I preach it everywhere. But the fact that 80 million Americans live, that 80 million Americans are Israelites, does not make America the land of Israel. The same way when Judah went captive into Babylon in 586 B.C., that land didn't become Judah. You know, when the northern tribes went into captivity in Assyria and the other places, Assyria didn't become the land of Israel. The fact that Israelites are captive in that land, and very clearly, O Zion, escape you who live with the daughter of Babylon. And very clearly, Israelites are captive in Babylon. And we know that. I don't think any of us denied. We were talking about that the other day. We're in diaspora there. And our hope is someday to come back to the land. Revelation 18:4, New Testament, very, very interesting scripture. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not share in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. And I've heard this for every kind of analogy you can imagine. It's coming out of false religion. But I'm telling you, we have talked to several scholars in Greek. We have the interlinear here. This word, "komata for my people," literally means to leave your homeland. It is not an analogy. It is physically leaving your homeland. "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and you receive of her plagues." See, the Father, her sins have reached to heaven, and he's going to kill everyone, and his word will not come back void. So he's telling his people, when this happens, get out of there. I'm not going to have a remnant there. If you want to save your soul, leave. It's pretty simple. Leave your homeland, go abroad. That is the only meaning in Greek that this word can mean. Absolutely only meaning. To leave your homeland, to go abroad. And why? Lest you share in her sins and receive of her plagues. There's 140-something wars going on in the world today. Just about everyone, America is supplying the arms to both sides. Where is this money coming from? World democracy? It's coming from you, the consumer. That's why you can get as much debt as you want. You want a car? Just walk in and sign a paper and walk out. Nowhere on earth do they make it that easy. Why was there the big boom of real estate in the last 5 years? Because they made every loan possible that you couldn't believe. Loans that were illegal they were doing. No interest, no interest mortgage. Pay in, pay a little now, pay this later. Because they have to keep the consumer spending. The average American has $8,000 in credit card debt. And who's the servant to the lender, the borrower? Right? Nowhere else on earth do you see this. I'm telling you. You go to Europe, and they're rich there. They have money. But they live the way they did 100 years ago. I have relatives that are millionaires there. They live in the same exact apartments that they lived in 100 years ago. They make their pasta every day. They work. Their life is exactly the same. You know, somebody mentioned, I forget who it was, about a dryer or something. I said, that's America. You don't see it in Europe. It's not money. They just don't do it. You know, they're frugal with their money. They're not. Can you imagine $8,000 just in credit card? And that's an average. And there's a lot of people who have no debt or don't do it. So that means probably most of the people on credit cards have $12,000, $15,000 or more. America has, in the last 3 years, they've had a negative savings rate. Can you imagine? The only country on earth that's making all this money and they've had a negative saving rate. They said this never happened even during the Depression. And I could give you a whole sermon on economics to tell you, just economically, even put the Bible aside for a minute, that there is a major downfall coming in that country soon. I mean, it is a house of cards financially. They are built on debt like you couldn't believe. And it's coming ready to spiral down. But very, very clearly. So what does that mean? You know, is Don trying to say, everybody pack your bags, let's come to Israel? No. No, Don's not saying that. The Father will open the door for his people when the time is ready. There's not going to be a second Moses. There's going to be a second Exodus. And it's going to come from Yeshua or, you know, like I said, some like ourselves may be the he-goat before the flock, but I am not saying just to pick up all your stuff and leave America. What I am saying is prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Get out of debt. Whatever physically in your life can hold you back from hearing the Holy Spirit, get rid of it. Simplify your life and get ready to hear the voice of Yahweh. Because very soon this world is going to change, and if you are not close to Yahweh, you are going to have real hard times in the end time. You know, they call us fanatic and silly because we live by faith. Yet, in America, the whole system is faith in the system. As long as you have faith in a paycheck, in insurance, in IRAs, in Social Security, then you're not stupid. But where is your faith? It's in the system and in the government. We've got to get our faith in Yahweh. And it doesn't mean that any of those things are wrong. You work for these things. I'm not saying you work for your retirement or you're out of work and you get unemployment. You work for that. What I'm saying is the trusting in them. Insurance. Days we live in, some not to have some insurance is actually a lack of faith. You know, we know we're going to get sick if you have to have health insurance. It's inevitable as human beings. But where is your trust? Where is your trust? You know, that's the key. And the time we're coming in, if we don't start tightening that buckle and getting down, and every day when we wake up, the first thing we should do is be on our hands and knees. Praying to Yahweh, Yahweh, thank you that I'm awake. Thank you there's breath in my mouth, and how can I serve you today? And that's the key. The key is this is coming. And when tomorrow night, when we start getting into what's happening today and who destroys America, you could read the paper and you could read the Bible and it's parallel hand in hand. We are so close to this, it is at the door. And that's why I'm saying, I'm not trying to panic anyone, but prepare. Prepare yourself the way Joseph did. Remember Joseph? He prepared before that famine came. And the way to prepare is get your life in order. Get your life in order. Get anything out of your life, if there's golf, if there's sports, if there's whatever it is that's not of the Father, put to the side. Get yourself in your Bible. Get yourself praying, studying, fasting. Get close to your family. Get close to your wives. Build your family units. But I'm telling you, we are close. We are close. It is close and it's coming. And even if that meant 10 years, that's not that far. You know, time is going so quick that I know if I had 20 years to prepare, I don't have one day too many. Because we tend to not do it as quick as we should. But I'm telling you, it is high time we have to start preparing for what's coming. So I think I will stop there and open the floor that we can discuss some things. Or if anyone would like to share anything or talk about anything, we'll open up the floor now.